The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Ah, yes, my pretty. Hello. Coming to you cordless from downtown Minneapolis. It's Monday, April 15th, 2024. It's 11 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8 p.m. on the West Coast, 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia. And here in Northeast Minneapolis, it's 10 p.m. Central Daylight Time. I am Jim Peters, and welcome to this, the Monologue Monday edition of Jim Peters Tonight. If you're keeping score at home, this is episode number 106. How about that? 106 shows. Who would have thunk it? Not the people at Facebook. They canned our butt. Oh, well. God almighty. Okay. So, you know, as Joe Peggs likes to say, a highly respected broadcaster, lovely guy, got a lot going on today, a lot to get to. So, and we do. So, this is if you ever watched a show before Mondays, because we take 3 days off, and this time it was 4 days. There's always a lot of news to go through on Monday. So generally, I don't book guests on Monday. I will yak for about an hour or so, and you will call in. And that's exactly the point here of my first announcement. You will call in one of three ways. You see this bar on the bottom of the screen here? Okay, here's the first way. You go to this webpage in your web browser, jimandnight.com/call, and you press the big blue button at the top of the screen, and the webcam on your device is automatically connected to our studio. I know this, you know, people, this is kind of weird. It's a web interface for your webcam, and I know most people aren't used to this, you know. Usually you have a program, you got FaceTime or something like that. No, you actually have to send your web browser to a web page, and you press that button, and it connects your webcam to our virtual green room. And I will put you on the air. You end up in the queue, and your picture goes out into the multitudes of space. Back up to the satellite, back down some guy's garage where he's drinking a beer on his shitty golf sofa or something. So, yeah. Now, if you don't want to be seen, and a lot of people don't, second way, right here. See that number? 563-999-3435. You can dial that number on your phone and talk to us audio only, just like on a regular radio call-in show, except this is not radio, but it's the same type of deal. You will encounter the sexy British lady from Blog Talk Radio. She will introduce herself and tell you to wait, and then you'll hear the show until I put you on the air through your phone. You can text us in real time, 408-458-5088. I got a screen off to the side here. I get all the texts as they come in. You got a comment, you got a question, and you don't want to talk. A lot of people don't. You Gen Zers, you know, you don't know how to communicate. So you like to text stuff. I understand. Okay, fine. You know, but yeah. So anyway, yeah. So not, and it's just me tonight, and most Mondays that's true. So you call in and join in. Okay, you can be the guest. You got that? You can actually be the guest. Got it? Okay, got that. Our guest list. Now we have the rest of the month's already filled up. I'm very happy about this. If you go to our website at jimandnight.com, you see, you know, that jimandnight.com/call there. If you go to the front page, jimandnight.com, on the bottom of the front page is a list. We always keep an updated list of our upcoming guests. Also, I might as well talk about this right now. We've made some additions and updates to our website this last weekend. First of all, I love this. Off to the side on the front page, on the side gutter, down below where the guests are listed, we are now running, there's a random meme that comes up that I picked them all out myself, about 50 of them in the random bin. If you want to see another one, you can refresh the page, and that should work. So doesn't work on Google Chrome because Google Chrome is highly, what's the word I'm looking for? It's highly tuned to make your browsing life easier, which means it doesn't do a whole lot of shit. But anyway, yeah. So you can see the little jokes come up there. You know, I love the jokes. You know that's really on the bottom right below the list of our upcoming guests. We have now permanently there's a 10-minute highlight reel from our first 100 shows there. So if you've never seen this before and you want to know what this is all about, you go down there and look at that. That's good. We also added an about page to the website this weekend too. Kind of explains what the show is about. And we took out, at least for the time being, we took out the episode list. In other words, you know, there was a list of episodes that you can actually play them from the page in reverse chronological order. And part of the reason we took it out is because, believe it or not, there's a bug in our system, and we had to manually update that. It's supposed to be automatic, but I won't get into the details about it. But, yeah, but it stumbles. And so because of that, if you go on there regularly, you will not be able to see the videos, even though they display on the show. And I got tired of that. And also, that's just bullshit for you. You don't want to do that. And there's plenty of other ways to do this. I mean, if you go to Rumble, you know, if you go to the watch page, which we've also updated now, we've added the Blog Talk Radio information. And we just added, and I'm happy to announce this too, we're now on Alexa. If you... And I have to make certain, I do not think there's not an Alexa box in this room. If you say to Alexa, Alexa, play the latest episode of Jim Peters Tonight, Alexa will do that. And of course, that's audio only too. Now, that's really interesting. If you have an Amazon Echo with a screen, I wonder if it plays a video. I actually don't know. I got to check into that. I don't know because I only have audio boxes. Most people only have the audio boxes. And I tested it. It works. But I don't actually know if it'll play the video. I don't think it will, because if I'm right, it's hooked up to Spotify. No, it's hooked up to Amazon Music. That's what it's hooked up to. What am I thinking? It's an Amazon product. And we're on our podcast through Blog Talk. Ends up there. So now we broadcast this show on 5 video platforms. The most prominent are Rumble and YouTube. But I'm not kidding about this. I just assume YouTube's going to can our butt sooner or later. We've been on there. We've done 100 shows. We've been cited and flagged for misinformation 5 times so far in 100 shows. Who the fuck would have known? You know, and it's mostly because I remember we talk about climate change and, you know, the social justice warriors, the 22-year-olds at YouTube want you to know that climate change is very real. And it's going to be a detriment to the planet. And the thing is, global warming is real. Climate change is bullshit. Now, you got that? There's a difference. The world is warming up. Absolutely no doubt about that. It's been warming up for 300 years. Are humans causing that? No. We might be having a minor effect at best. No. We're not causing it. No. What's causing it? The sun. Now, I got to look this back up because Patrick Moore was on this show, and he was talking about this. And his book, what's it called? Something Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. It's on our blog at Gemini.com. He explains that, and I can't remember, that's the thing, I can't remember what it's called. It's named after a Russian scientist, starts with an M. The reason the temperature on Earth wobbles back and forth is because the solar system, the planets of the solar system, essentially have the same effect on Earth's revolution around the sun as the moon has on tides on Earth. So, and it's mostly the two major planets, Saturn, Jupiter, and Uranus. There's a slight pull depending on where everybody is in the solar system, back and forth from closer and farther away from the sun. And that's the reason the temperature on Earth changes. It's not really the output of the sun per se. The output of the sun does vary in terms of solar flares and electromagnetic radiation, but the actual heat from the sun generally does not vary that much, from what I understand anyway. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's my understanding. So the temperature on Earth has been rising the last 300 years. That's absolutely a fact. But, you know, as Patrick Moore pointed out very, very presciently, the first half of those 300 years, there was no industrialization on the planet. Well, the temperature went up anyway. And that's because we're egotistical bastards, and we think we affect everything. No, we don't. So, at any rate, I actually put this description of the show tonight about the fact that Jane Fonda was off somewhere talking about this woman's a fucking idiot. She's been spouting bullshit, idiot crap for 50 years. I mean, Jesus, going all the way back to the Vietnam War. I mean, she talks and talks and talks. I guess people listen to her because she's pretty. I don't know. And yeah, she's a reasonably good actress, but acting isn't hard. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of people who can do it. I don't know if you've noticed that. And very few people do it above the standards of everyone else. You got your Meryl Streeps and maybe your Patrick Stewart. And I've never thought, I mean, Robert De Niro and Al Pacino are very, very competent actors. Brilliant? No. No, they're just doing the job. That's it. It's crap. And so she runs around she's talking about climate change. Like she knows shit. This really bothers me. I mean, I am really come out of it. The fact I'm a climate change denier. You know, so we talk about this here. And of course, this episode will probably be flagged now because I'm talking in these ways, you know. But nobody, it's the party of science. Follow the science. Well, yeah, I did. The science says you're full of crap. That's what the science says. So it's the single most politicized issue of our time. It's complete, utter bullshit. There's nothing to this. And, so Patrick Moore comes on the show, and 2 weeks later, the United Nations, on their website at UN.org, I'm not kidding, they actually put this up. Somebody told me they've taken it down now. I'm in check. They put up a page that said, we can solve the climate crisis on Earth for $75 trillion. People can't do anything. There's a meme. I went through memes, and I'm not going to talk about this right now. One of the reasons I've been going through these memes, and even the reason we stuck this thing on the front page just for your amusement, is we're doing a project that's probably going to come to fruition later on this year involving memes. And I'm not going to tell you what it is right now, but you will be very pleased. I think you will. And it's attached to the show. It's going to be attached to the show. But I lost my train of thought. You know how terrible it is to get old? Oh, what was I going to say? We were talking about the memes, right? This is terrible. Whatever. All right. When in doubt, plow forward. So, So I was talking about, they're going to flag us, well, here's the deal. Like I said, it's bullshit. There you go. I just summed it up. Tomorrow, here's our guest list for the next couple of weeks. Tomorrow, Don Zorro is going to be joining us. He is the intelligence operative. And as I said in the show description or in the rundown, a lover of women, he's on the month in review panel. Now, this is the first time he's come on solo, and so this is going to be fun. We always enjoy talking to him. He goes back to our Conk News days. I mean, it's like he's been doing this for years, and so, but this is the first time he's come on the show solo, so that's kind of cool. So that'll be nice. Wednesday, we've got the dynamic duo that Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from RedState.com and Jeff Meyer from ConkNews.com, and they're going to tag team do the issues. That's always fun too. Thursdays, we have somebody new, Leigh Richardson, and she is the founder of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. Now, what she's particularly talking about, she's written a book about this, although I don't have the title here. What she's particularly going to be talking about is the fact that she thinks that the crisis, it is basically a crisis at this point of mental health in the United States, and especially among youth, is due to our bad diets. That's what she's going to talk about. That should be fascinating. I've done 105 shows here. This is 106. My wife, a good liberal woman, she's never watched even 5 minutes of this. I mean, she's happy that, unfortunately, 35 years ago, she married a good liberal boy, and that guy went away. He's somewhere stuck in my psyche, and I think he's just playing with his fingers or something. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. but he's not around anymore. So my wife is very, very, I have to give her credit. She lets me do this. She doesn't give me any crap about it, nothing, but she's not going to watch it. But this show, because of what I'm talking about, what this woman's talking about here, she says she might actually watch this one. So that'll be interesting, because my wife thinks there's a lot to this. She thinks she's really in the diet and stuff like that, and she thinks most people, well, no, she doesn't think. We know this for a fact. The majority of Americans diet are complete utter shit. Now, part of the reason, and this is really important, nobody cooks anymore. Now, I made tonight a fantastic meal of salmon, scallops, and Mediterranean vegetables and wild rice. You want to marry me. I'm a very, very good cook, and I'm not bullshitting. I really am. My wife loves my cooking, and I like doing it. So, we had our niece over, and yeah, it was terrific. So that's the thing. Who does that? Not many people anymore. That's my point. That's the reason I brought that up. Not to brag to you, although you do want to marry me. Yeah, I have. I'm good at certain things. Uh-huh. Yeah, cooking's one of them. But no. So that's the point. Nobody cooks. So we're all going out buying. People are living off fast food. And, it's not a bad thing every now and then. It isn't. And the other thing is, too, see, everything is relative. Your average meal at McDonald's is more nutritious than almost anything anybody eats in any third world country. And unfortunately, that's not saying much. That's the problem. If you make a regular diet of that stuff, you will become a fat fuck. You will. Not to mention the fact your body won't run very well either. But anyway, so she's going to talk about a woman's name is Leigh Richardson. That's on Thursday of this week. Next Monday, a week from tonight, got another monologue Monday. Tuesday, Ed Morrissey, the managing editor of hotair.com, he's coming on. We're going to talk about mostly what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in Ukraine. He's very good at this. Now, he was on about 6 weeks ago. And I have to tell you, and this is one of the reasons I don't talk about this. I don't talk much about the war in Ukraine because I don't know what to think. I really don't. I still don't. Although I have to tell you, after listening to Ed, he's kind of convinced me that maybe this is a good undertaking. At the end of our interview, he had a very eloquent explanation of why we need to support Ukraine. And it was very, very good. I can't remember what show that is. You can find it if you go out to Rumble and go through the show list. It was the end of the interview. It was very compelling. I mean, it really made an impression on me. I'm sitting here listening to him just like you are. So we're going to talk about that. And also we'll talk about the stuff that is going on in Israel. And he's written a bunch of stuff lately. I'm looking forward to that. It's a good conversation. He's one of three people from Hot Air that we have on here on a regular basis. We have our sources. We have Hot Air. We have redstate.com. We have the Epoch Times. We have a lot of reporters from there coming on. It's like there's all sorts of reasons for this. I kind of fell in with these people. But really, really good reporters and journalists and commentators. I mean, and I'm going to get to this in just a second. I'm going to tell you about this. So next week, if you're one of the UFO buffs that listen to the watch the show, both Wednesday and Thursday. On Wednesday, we have Bruce Solheim on. He's written quite a few. His latest book is called We Are the Aliens. Now, not only says he's been abducted, he says he's in regular communication with an extraterrestrial. He is both a college professor and also works as a defense contractor. He works with the government and works with the military. And he says part of what his stance on UFOs is based on stuff he's learned while in the military. I don't know if it's secret. I don't know if you talk about it enough, but that's what he claims. So that's going to be interesting. On Thursday, Kathleen Martin's coming on, and she is the niece of Betty Hill, of Betty and Barney Hill fame, the couple that got abducted in 1961 on a highway in New Hampshire. Essentially the first documented alien abduction in America, still one of the most famous. More evidence, physical evidence for this one, and also high circumstantial evidence to say, to prove that what happened to them really did happen. And it's kind of interesting how that works, because, of course, in 1961, there was no internet. And I actually made a note here today. I can't stop making notes. Okay. You know, we don't do a Friday show. We got 3 days off. I come on Monday. The reason we don't book guests on Monday generally, because I know I'm going to talk for an hour. I made a note about the fact that, you know, things may, when it comes to like proving some of the stuff, the existence of the internet has maybe not been a good thing. Okay, word gets around a lot faster. That's true. But even when, I mean, right now, not only can we convincingly fake photographs, we can convincingly even fake video. And now you have deep fake AI video where you can actually manufacture video from whole cloth and it looks real. So who knows what the hell. There's a very famous video of a bunch of UFOs flying overhead in what looks like Florida, a tropical environment. It's very well known. You've seen it. It's been used on television a million times. And I'm pretty good at spotting this shit because I've been involved in production all my life. And I didn't spot obvious thing in that video, which showed it was a fake. And that was, if you look, all the palm trees are identical. They were cut and paste. And I never caught it. And it just pisses me off. You know, it's like, yeah, no, that video is a fake. And there's a whole bunch of videos that now they're fake. And especially now, recently, it's even been heightened in the sense that more and more people can make more and more money off of faking this stuff. So now there's more and more incentive to do it. I'd say the vast majority of videos, UFO videos now, are not real. The vast majority, 90 to 95%. So the terrible thing is, and especially you sitting home in your underwear, drinking your beer in bed with some, maybe eating some spaghetti, getting marinara sauce all over your sheets. It's a mess, man. Stop it. But you can't tell the difference. I'm trained. I've been doing this all my life. I usually can tell the difference. You can't tell the difference. So, yeah, and so, you know, you put some video up on YouTube and then you monetize it. And the next thing you know, you probably made like, you know, $500. And yeah, why should you stop doing that? Terrible. So you go back to 1961. They didn't have shit. You know, I was six in 1961. We didn't have crap. And in some ways, it's glorious. I mean, you know, really, that's the terrible thing, because the internet, in some ways, you know, the internet's that's my point here. It's completely messed all this crap up, you know? So we're looking at stuff. It's not real, you know? There's a very famous episode of Mission Impossible from the late 1960s, the one that Peter Graves starred in, you know, where they go to some third world country and the president, the dictator in this company, films a speech. And they very quickly grab the film and re-edit it and put it on television. And their edit makes it look like he said the opposite of what he actually said. Now, okay, that's totally fine, especially in 1960s, even if you had a jump cut, people probably wouldn't catch it because nobody knew anything about that crap at all. You know, but now, and that all, of course, in that little shithole country, that altered history. That was the point. That's going to happen someday. We're going to have some president or some, you know, Macron from France or somebody somewhere, or what's it? I always get the current prime minister and the current mayor of London confused. I can't remember either. They're both Muslim gentlemen and they have Muslim names. Ravi Subak or whatever his name. You know, at some point somebody's going to make one of these speeches, and somebody's going to do this. The video will not be real, you know. So, I don't know. It's just like really. So why did I bring all that up? Okay, Kathleen Martin. Okay, so her aunt was Betty Hill. So in 1961, in September, they said they were abducted by extraterrestrials while driving home from some family outing. That's what they said. But there is, and I'm not going to get into it now because things. I mean, I can go on forever. That's my problem. But we'll talk to her and she'll explain it. There was significant physical and circumstantial evidence to prove that what they said was true. And a lot of it comes down to this star map that Betty drew from memory. Supposedly, I'm going to just very quickly throw this out. Supposedly, on exiting the craft, she asked the extraterrestrials, the ETs, where are you from? And one of them said, I call them people now. And this is interesting because Kathleen Martin, I'm reading her book, Forbidden Knowledge. She calls them people too. They're people, you know, hell. I mean, shit, you know, it's like they may not be humans, but they're people. We're all fucking people, you know. One of the guys on this craft said, come here, I'll show you. And he apparently showed her a holographic three-dimensional map, holographic in the sense that the map was floating in space. And, of course, it's space. So it's three dimensions, so you can actually walk around the map. Now, you know, in Star Trek, they never address this because they thought people would get completely confused, and they probably would. But, you know, space is three dimensions. But in Star Trek, it was they acted like the spacecrafts were basically like boats. They were all on one level. You know, well, that's not the way it works at all in real life. So they showed her this map and said, well, here's Earth here, and here's your sun, and here's where we're from over here. And Benjamin Simon, the person who was hypnotizing her, said, can you draw the map? And she said, sure. And she drew it under hypnosis. And years later, a woman named Marjorie Fish actually figured out where that was. It was a Zeti Reticulae star complex. But here's the deal. In 1965, it was just 4 years after, she drew the map 4 years after the event. In 1965, nobody knew where that was. That place hadn't been discovered yet. And Stan Friedman has always said, and I agree with him, that that's the smoking gun of ufology. There's no way to explain that a suburban housewife from New Hampshire was the only person on the planet who knew where a star complex 37 light years away was. There's no way to explain it. There isn't, other than the fact she actually knew. There's no way to explain it. So he always said that's a smoking gun, and I agree, and we'll talk to Kathleen about that. But Kathleen's new latest book is she says she's been in touch with extraterrestrials now, too. And she said she didn't want to write about us previously because she is basically, and it's true, she's a legitimate UFO researcher, and she thought these ideas are so kooky, nobody would buy them. They thought it would ruin her career as a researcher, and she's finally decided, fuck it. So this guy's coming on a week from Tuesday, or a week from Wednesday. Bruce Solheim, he also says this. He says he's in touch with extraterrestrials. You know, so yeah, there's a possibility that these people are all lying. There is. But especially with books, there's not a lot of money in books. I mean, you know, people write books and, you know, you'll make some money. You're not going to get rich. And when you start talking about communicating regularly with extraterrestrials, the rap to your reputation would greatly outweigh any money you'd make from a book, with few exceptions. The thing is, you don't know what those exceptions are going to be. You know, every once in a while a book takes off. You know, that's what happened to Anthony Bourdain. He was a chef in a New York restaurant, and he wrote a book about working in New York restaurants, and that book became a huge, massive bestseller. That was before the internet too. It basically went viral before you could even do that sort of thing. Excuse me. And he became wildly rich. And I think it was Norm Macdonald. And Norm Macdonald's been in the news the last couple of weeks because OJ died. And you know, Norm Macdonald, who was a brilliant, brilliant comedian, basically get fired from Saturday Night Live for making. He was running the Weekend Update desk for 4 years. And a lot of people think, I would say along with Dennis Miller, he was the best person who ever did it. Because he relentlessly made fun of OJ for killing these people. And Don Ohlmeyer, who was an executive at NBC and a close friend of OJ's, apparently decided that enough was enough, and he canned his ass. But so there have been all sorts of memes going. I think we even have one in the meme stack that we're right on the front page at Facebook.com, a joke that Norm would have made that didn't. You know, I think the joke, if I'm right, that meme, the joke is, well, O.J. Simpson can go to the grave knowing, well, how is it? He goes to his grave secure in the knowledge that Nicole's killer is now dead. Something like that. I don't know. You got to see it. Anyway, why did I bring that up? Does anybody here? Are you following any of this? Why did I bring that up? Okay, so anyway, that's what we got going on in the next 2 weeks. Kathleen Martin next Thursday. All right, so let's get to the news today. It's April 15th. Several things happened today. Well, first of all, something happened last night, which I find just hilarious. So CBS broadcast Billy Joel's 100th concert from Madison Square Garden, and right at the end, right in the middle of Piano Man, his most iconic song, they cut the feed. Oh, my God, why did they do that? Because in the local news shows needed to put their news on. That's why. And why they were in late, because not because of the Masters. That's what everyone was saying. They actually ran late because they had to they inserted a 15-minute news story in about the Iraq War, and we're going to talk about that in a second, the Iraq attack on Israel. So there were 15 minutes behind, and so the concert was paced just fine. It was on time. It was hitting the mark. And so, but they were 15 minutes behind, so they canned it. It's his most famous song. It's like, Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, that's a good way to make friends and influence people. So, I mean, I saw that like, from Los Angeles. So, you know, he's singing the Piano Man, and then all of a sudden some chick shows up on the it's the news tonight. Yeah, right. Okay. So that happened yesterday. Today, of course, is tax day. I actually had to check because the last couple of years they've moved it. It has not been on the 15th. But I checked with my accountant. Today is tax day. So you had to get your taxes and you got that. Today is the anniversary in April 15th, 1965, that Abraham Lincoln died. And he was shot the night before at Ford's Theater. Just tragic. I mean, anything I say would come off as petty. That's just absolutely just it was it changed the nation. I mean, assassination and JFK's in 1963 basically completely changed the fabric of our society. You know, and the other thing, you got to remember this. So. Up to that time, up to what, I think 1930 or 32 or something like that, inauguration day was in March. It was March 4th, if I'm right. So, and this was April 14th, he was shot, and he died on the 15th. He had only been in a second term for 6 weeks. So he was only president basically there for 4 years, 4 years and 6 weeks. So, and he saved the Union. Unlike his predecessor, James Buchanan, who basically gets blamed for the Civil War. And it's not so much that it's a very complex story, but it's not so much that Buchanan caused it, so much that he let it happen. He could have stopped it, and he didn't. So, that's how come Buchanan is generally regarded as the worst president ever. And it's pretty obvious that Joe Biden is going to end up just one tick above him. You know, that's it. And I'm not just saying that. You may watch this show and think I'm a partisan. I'm not. You know, if we had a shitty Republican president, I'd be fucking complaining about that. Joe Biden is totally incompetent. There's no, and not only that, he's incompetent, he's doing stuff that's actively terrible. And he does this shit solely to hold on to power. That's his only goal here is reelection. He does not care if he destroys the country in the process. It's really, really disgusting, really terrible. I mean, you stop and think about this. Just on age, let's say he was brilliant. Let's say he was having a hell of a good time. This was going really well. Even if that was the case, he should not run again just because of his health. for no other reason. He is becoming infirmed. I'd say he's infirmed already. So what his family is doing, and especially his wife, making him do this, is essentially elder abuse. So like I said, in that parallel universe where he's a brilliant president, he's doing fantastic, he shouldn't run. But he's running because of ego and because of power. He's a petty, petty little man. And the amazing thing is these are all the things that were attributed to Trump. Not only are they not true, the polling, and this was actually on my rundown tonight, so I'm just skipping around here. The latest polling says that even among people who hate his the opinions of his presidency have improved. It's like, so today, another thing that happened today, of course, Trump, the Trump quote-unquote hush money trial started. They started fielding jurors. So out of a pool of 96 jurors today, 50 people recused themselves because they said they cannot be unbiased toward Donald Trump. Now, because this is a Manhattan jury and audience, I'm assuming they all hate his guts. Only 12% of the people in Manhattan voted for Trump in 2020. So at least they're saying so. Now, this is a criminal trial, not a civil trial. So to convict him, they need a unanimous jury. So if one person refuses to go along, it's a hung jury. And then technically they can do the whole thing over again. I don't think they'd have time to put together before the election. But this is so plainly, blatantly, obviously a political ploy that I can bet money. You know, I'll bet you $1,000 right now that on appeal this will not go through. But he will probably get convicted here. He probably will. It's what the legal analysts call a nullified jury, and that is, you know, ahead of time the jury is going to be biased. You know that. So that's happening today, and that's just fantastic. Now the judge has audibly from the bench has warned Trump that if he does not show up for court, he will be arrested and thrown in jail. So he's off the campaign trail for a little while, at least for during the weekdays. You know, all right. So what else happened today too? And this is important. The Titanic sunk on April 15th, 1912. So it sunk shortly after midnight. So along with the shooting of President Lincoln, it basically overlapped midnight. The boat hit the iceberg on the 14th, but it sank on the 15th. A lot of people don't understand what happened here, and this is a very, very unique case. First of all, the Titanic was the last ship anywhere in the world to hit an iceberg. It hasn't happened since. So what, all right, 1912, I'll do some quick math, was it 112 years ago, right? It hasn't happened since. And of course, everyone knows the Titanic was quoted to be an unsinkable, the world's first unsinkable ship. Now, actually, that was not an exaggeration. Under normal circumstances, the Titanic should not have sunk. It was such a freak accident. I mean, seriously, you could not script anything. It's right out of a movie. So they saw the iceberg, and they tried to steer around it. And what happened is, and you probably, you know, if you saw James Cameron's movie, you know this. So the bottom of the boat scraped the sides of the iceberg and ripped a 300-foot hole in the side of the boat. The Titanic was fitted with, if I'm right, I was going to look this up, I forgot to do it. If I'm right, it was 11 watertight bulkheads. So the deal, and if I'm correct, 5 of them could flood and the boat could still sink. That's the irony here. If the Titanic had hit the iceberg straight on, it would have been a mangled mess, but it wouldn't have sunk at all, not even close. It would have limped into New York Harbor basically as an accident victim, but it would not have sunk. None of those people, or very few people at the front of the boat maybe would have died. That's about it. But so this 300-foot hole was 4 feet longer than the number of bulkheads that could flood before the ship sunk. That was it. If it had been 4 feet less, the Titanic would not have sunk. I mean, it's crazy. What happened here is absolutely unbelievable. nothing's even come close to ever happening since. And we've lost boats, you know, but not like this. I mean, that's the thing. You can't. It was not an exaggeration to say that boat was unsinkable. It wasn't. It should not have sunk, and it did. You know, and some people think it was God's way of telling humans they're getting too arrogant. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. You know, who knows? But it was a freak accident. It was very, very weird. And on top of that, then, of course, the fact there were boats in the area and they didn't hear the SOS signals. And when the Carpathia, when they saw the flares go up from the Titanic, they assumed there were fireworks for onboard party. That's what they assumed. So, I mean, it's the Titanic, you know. Just really, really odd stuff. So that happened today. So, of course, what else happened over the weekend, the big news is that, you know, Iran attacked Israel. Now, this is really interesting. I'm listening to Mike Baker today. He does the President's Daily Brief podcast. And you probably heard this. So Iran attempted to launch 600 missiles to Israel. First of all, 300 of them either blew up on the pads or crashed shortly after launch, didn't get to Israel. 300 of them, 50% of them. Of the other 50%, well, the statistic that's being quoted is that Israel and or the U.S. shot down 99% of them. It might have shot down 100% of them. That damn Iron Dome that Israel built works really freaking well. And nobody got killed. Nobody. So 600 missiles, zero deaths. Well, your army's doing well, isn't it? It's crazy. But what Baker was saying, and, you know, Mike Baker, he's been a longtime guest on Fox News. He was a CIA operative. He's connected to the military. He knows his shit. He says that his people in the military have told him that Iran telegraphed what they were going to do to both Israel and the United States ahead of time. So this whole thing was for show. It was for show to the Iranian citizens. They wanted to show the Iranian citizens, we're taking action. We can do something here. And, of course, they did launch all this shit. So, I mean, in that sense, it was a show, you know. The fact they didn't kill anybody, well, I don't know, you know. It's like, that's not how war is supposed to work. But, yeah, so that was the entire point of it. And he said, in that sense, that, and also the fact that they announced that when they were done that, quote, unquote, this matter is concluded. So he says they know, they being the Iranians, they know that if either Israel or the U.S. or both tries to retaliate, they're sitting ducks. He says they know that even Israel alone could kill them, cream them. So, but they had to do this as a show, and that's why they're just hoping and praying Israel doesn't do anything. And also, he says that's the reason that Biden is telling them to lay off and, quote unquote, take the win, you know, because they actually did apparently tell them ahead of time what they were going to do. Now, and also, Baker brought up the point here, and I probably don't have to say this, you know, Biden looks bad. He just looks bad. There's nothing, the administration has painted itself into a corner where there's nothing they can do here that actually looks good. Nothing. And this is what happens when you appease people, you know. I mean, Joe Biden is a very, very stupid man. He's completely screwed up the Afghan as the exit, which he still, I mean, he still says it was a spectacular success. He's hilarious is what he is. I mean, and, you know, and he says, you don't understand, we had to get out. No, that's not the problem, Joe. No one's arguing about getting out. Well, I mean, you can argue about it. But, for example, I was okay with him getting out. I didn't have any problem with getting out. It's how you did it. It was the execution. It was terrible. It sucked. You left hundreds of people and got 13 people killed in pulling out. It's crazy shit. And you're saying, well, yeah, it's a success. Yeah, great. Yeah. So now, like Baker said, there's nothing that's happened here or nothing Biden can do where he won't look bad. And that's true. And then you get all these goddamn protesters running around all the country. And I mean, the protesting, the pro-Hamas protesting is getting really strong in America, but it's just the protest. This is the thing. This is the effect that social media has had on America. This has always been the case, but it's been amplified by social media. You have these protests, both online and in real life, you know, in the physical world, in, you know, IRL, and they're very strong, and you see a lot of people, but you have to understand that those people are a huge, are a really, really small minority of the American public. The vast, vast majority of the public is well over 80% every time it's been polled, thinks that Israel's on the right here. So part of the reason for these protests is to convince people that that's not true, and it just is, and that it just is. You can protest all you want. You know, you are in a distinct, you, the protesters, are in a distinct minority. But if you see people, hundreds of people in New York City or L.A. or wherever the hell it is, you know, jamming up the freeways, and you're thinking, well, God, maybe there's something to that. But there isn't. It's the same thing like online. Dylan McVaney's supporters will get online and tell you, well, you're just a transphobe for not supporting Bud Light because Dylan's a spokesperson. No, the vast majority of people did not think this was a good idea. I'm talking now about Dylan McVaney being a spokesperson for Bud Light. It's like, if the people in this company that thought of this are just stupid as fuck. I mean, you know, it has nothing even to do with transphobia or anything like that. This guy, and I'm going to call him a guy because I my contention is Dylan McVaney is not really a transgender person. He's a drag queen, and there's a huge difference. He's a performer, and he's apparently made millions of dollars doing this. But he does not represent the people who traditionally drink Bud Light, and if you think you could change that, you know, overnight, well, you shouldn't have graduated from college. That's the other thing I got here too. I made a note of this too, about the fact that hold on a second. I can't find it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway because I remember. College degrees have become worthless. It's like, now I remember what made me think about this. So this also happened during a weekend, or actually last week, when Sheila Jackson Lee, the congresswoman, talking about the eclipse. Now, this woman has a bachelor's degree from Yale and a Juris Doctor from the University of Virginia. Got that? She has a law degree. And she didn't. She said that the moon is made of gas. I mean, she's talking about this. She doesn't have a clue what she's talking about. And not only that, it's unbelievable. She was the head of the science subcommittee or the NASA subcommittee for the House. I mean, she has absolutely no... Now, I've always thought the woman was a stone-cold idiot. I've always thought that. But she proved it this week. She got up and gave a speech. I can't remember where the hell it was, where she's talking about the eclipse, and she has no idea what even happened. If you get a chance to watch this, and I've got to figure out how to... It's mostly... It's partly a legal issue, because we don't have clearance to play some of this stuff. Play some of these clips... it's just ridiculous, you know. And here's a woman, she's graduated from college. And so you got a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of 22-year-old social justice warriors on YouTube are going to cancel my butt. They've also graduated from college. Because they graduated from college, they think they're smart. The fact is right now, especially when it comes to bachelor's degrees, if you put in your time, you'll get a degree. It doesn't, you can fail every goddamn class. You will eventually get a degree. Now that's, you know, if you're talking about doctorates, that's not quite true, but it's almost true there. You know, my thing is 99% of the people who put their time and money into a bachelor's degree get the degree. It's probably 95 to 97% for doctorates. But still, the fact of the matter is, if you're not a complete total fuck up and you put your time in, no matter what your grade is, no matter how well you do or how badly you do, you will get a degree. And so therefore the degrees are now not worthless. Anybody can get one. Anybody can get one for almost anything. And we've got this woman, she's a congresswoman, and she's on the science subcommittee, and she's going on and on about how the moon is made out of gas. And then you're wondering why they keep the UFO shit secret or why they don't tell Congress. Geez, I wonder why. There's your answer right there, ladies and germs. Like, it's unbelievable. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, Christ. Like, all right, let's plow forward here. Tell you what, I'm going to almost, oh, this was fun. You maybe heard this too. I got to mention this before we go to part three, which is all the weird stuff about the fact that there's a new version of Scrabble coming out that they've dumbed down for Gen Z kids. In this version, everyone's included and nobody wins. That's basically what happens. So now when you buy a Scrabble board, there's two printed sides on the board. One is the standard game, the regular game everybody knows. The other is the dumbed down version, which they're called, and they renamed it something that's called Scrabble Now or something like that. I can't remember what it is. It's easier and nobody wins. That's basically, there's no winner. Yeah, because, you know, that's, everyone should get a trophy for participating. Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing. You know, if we don't stop this, this is going to be the death of this country. You understand that? If there's no standard to be held to anything, you know, it's already happening in the military. You know, I mean, Kat Tim from Fox News, she mentioned about the fact that she thinks the military is actually overfunded. And somebody said, the problem with the military isn't the money, it's the leadership. And that's actually true. And the other thing I would throw into this too, and this is true not just military, but it's true basically any large organization, it's very, very scary and disadvantageous to give an organization too much money. At some point, you're too well-funded. And then people become lazy. There's no incentive to do anything. No one's held accountable. And I think that's where our military might be right now. I think the problem now might not be not enough money. It might be too much. You know, so I don't know. Yeah. Why do you watch this? Okay, so I'm going to end with this stuff here. Also happened this weekend, or the actual anniversary of it. It was 2016. On April 14th, 2016, Alfred Bender's death was announced to the public. And he actually died 2 weeks before that, but it was announced. Now, you're wondering, who the hell is Alfred Bender? Alfred Bender was basically the first superstar UFO researcher from the early 1960s. And he's the first person who made a really good living at it. He started a newsletter. At that time, we're not talking about an email newsletter. There was no email. We're actually talking about something you mail through the frickin' mail. Now, I found this really interesting. A lot of people think this is kind of stupid, but I think I like it. Daniel Perez has been on the show, and he's the author. He's the publisher of the Bigfoot Times. It's a newsletter. It's not an email newsletter. It actually goes out through the mail. It's printed. And I like getting my copy. I do. It's like, I gotta admit, I enjoy it. And I've had people say, well, that's the stupidest thing ever. Why would you do that? Well, here's the deal. I don't know about you. You know, when you get 200 emails every day, you know, at some point you don't want to stop looking at them. So I like getting the hard copy. I really do. I sit down and I actually read it. You know, but, you know, when Alfred Bender was doing this, that was the only choice you had. So he was sending out a newsletter that people subscribed to, and he was making big money off of it. It was not one of, I think it was the most popular UFO newsletter in the entire world. I can't remember what it was called. So at any rate, he said, and I think it was in 1961, no, 59, I think it was, because in 1959, he says he's working in his house, in his home office, and he said he is visited, he has a knock on the door by three guys in black suits who told him to cut the shit out. And he said, what do you mean? You know, he said, no, he's the newsletter. You got to stop doing this. And he said, why? And they said, we're not going to tell you, but if you don't stop, terrible things might happen to you and your family. That's what they tell him. Well, he ignores them, and they come back, and they come back a third time, and then they actually start fucking with his life. He said that, you know, so, and he doesn't know who they are. He doesn't know whether they're with the government, and also he said their appearance seemed to change over time. He said at first they looked like normal, regular, ordinary people, but after a while, he said, they started to look kind of weird. And anyway, something happened, and I can't remember. I did not reread this closely. Something happened to convince him that they were right, that some bad things were going to happen to him, and he very suddenly shut the whole operation down and basically went away. And it just shocked people because he was basically the premier UFO researcher in America. And all of a sudden, he's not only is the newsletter not, he did announce the fact that he was closing the newsletter, and he closed it, and then no one could find him, and he just basically, he disappeared. That's what happened. Years and years later, about 10 years later, I think it was 1969, he wrote a book. I think the book is called Flying Saucers and the Three Men. I should have. You can find this, though, if you look online. Where he explains how this happened. If I'm right, the three guys, they gave him some sort of medallion or something like that. And he said, when the medallion disappears, he said, then you can write about this. And that's what happened 10 years later. He said the medallion suddenly disappeared. And so he decided to write about it. But at any rate, it's a very, very troubling and weird story. And a lot of people don't believe him. I got to tell you, well, shit, people don't believe anything. You know, I've said this before, I have a very good friend of mine who watches this show, and he's been very supportive of me doing this, but he thinks this UFO shit we talk about here, he thinks it's all complete, utter bullshit. He says his thing is everybody's lying, you know. Now, right now, the latest surveys from Gallup, I'm not talking about Bob's survey, I'm talking about Gallup, you know, seem to indicate that about 2% of the American population might have been abducted. So, and that's, I did some math, that's about 6 million people. So let's say 90% of them are lying, right? And that brings you down to 600,000 people. And so if you did 95%, that's 300,000. You still got a really pretty big, you know, cadre of people who might be telling the truth. Then the real weird thing is you have to think about this too. The way this works is that Carl Sagan was completely wrong. He said his famous quote is, extraordinary claims demand extraordinary evidence. Yeah, that may be true on the face of it, but it's not how you compute this. If one single person is proved to be telling the truth about alien abduction, the whole concept and the scenario exists. All you need is one. It doesn't matter whether 99.9% of the other people are lying. If one person can be proved to tell the truth, the whole idea of alien abduction is real. Now, I said at the top of the show, and we'll talk about this with Kathleen Martin next week, that I already think that the Benny and Barney Hill case, that was presented. I think there's the evidence that in that particular incident is irrefutable. That's what I think. And a lot of people agree with me. But that's the way this works. So, you know, people think Alvin Bendel is crazy. And there's another guy named George Adamski. And if you go look through he was very famous in the 1950s too. He's always basically been written off as a fraud. But lately, as some researchers have done more and more research into his life and times, there's people think, no, maybe there was something to this. He claimed that he was abducted too, and nobody believed him. And also, he was pretty brazen about trying to commercially cash in on it, and that was part of probably the large reason people didn't believe him. I remember I saw this live when Whitley Strieber wrote Communion, and it was in 1986, was it? He came on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, and it was really fascinating. I got a really, you know, you got to give Carson props. I mean, Jesus, I mean, he was the best talk show host of his era, no doubt about it. So Strieber came down, sat down in the chair. Carson's at his desk, and he says right away, he says, Mr. Strieber, I've read your book. Before we do this interview, I want to start. I have to just get something out. I want to make sure I get this right off the top of the head. He says, I don't believe you. I think you're lying. I think you made this up. And he, but that said, tell us your story. And from that point on, Carson, it was a completely legit interview in the sense that Carson asked him questions and Strieber answered them. But he started the interview with his own disclaimer, I don't believe you. You know, and a lot of people thought that about Whitley Strieber, too, that basically he's commercially capitalized off all of this, so it was a really good incentive for him to make it up. And he's, and Whitley Strieber is arguably the most famous person other than the UFO stuff to ever claim to be abducted. I mean, I can't think of anybody else. There's a what? There's a Eastern Bloc president of some country, and I can't remember, is it Uzbekistan? I can't remember which it is, who says he's been abducted. There's a couple other people, but arguably, you could make a real good argument that Whitley Strieber was the most famous person ever abducted before. In other words, not famous for his abduction. He was an author. And wildly successful too. So, they thought the same thing about Bender. I mean, this has been going around for ages. So you know, there's no way to tell. There's usually no way to tell. We'll talk to Kathleen Martin. Like I said, I think that the Betty and Barney Hill case actually has compelling, or what you say in a criminal court, a preponderance of evidence to prove that it's going to happen. The other thing, and the one thing I'm going to emphasize is reading Kathleen's book, it also reminded me, and I've talked about this many times, about the fact that the one thing we've learned, you know, people always ask me, and I even have this in the description of our show that we put up this weekend about the fact, well, how did you know? You know, I've been talking about these UFOs for 30 years. How did you know they were real? And, you know, it's like I've always said, it wasn't a feeling I had. It wasn't a belief. It was because it was literally based on government documents through the Freedom of Information Act. Now, we're putting together a UFO panel that we're going to have on the show, hopefully next month. And some of the people that have tentatively agreed to be on it are quite well known. And so I don't want to, one of those guys has made his career collecting these documents. And that's actually where I got most of my information from his research. But one of the things about those documents is that, so there's people in the military that are sworn to secrecy and will not, you know, even, who was I talking to about Luis Alejandro? Was it Bruce Rappanau? I can't remember. Was on a couple of weeks ago about the fact that these, even though Alejandro is no longer employed by the military, he gave his security oath his lifetime, and he won't break it. He knows a bunch more stuff than he can actually talk about, you know. So, and he has to be very careful the way he words shit too. Like he can say, "Well, I believe the extraterrestrials are here." He can't say, "I have proof," even if he does. Because of a security clearance, he can't say that. But the one thing that the government documents have always been able to, we've been able to circumvent these security laws by Canadian documents, which is really weird. So Canadians interface with our military. We're running, well, not just this stuff, but a whole bunch of shit, you know. But we Canadian documents are beyond the scope of American security laws. So we can go to Canada and get documents that prove what people are, you know, or disprove what people are saying, that apparently people are interacting with the military. I find that interesting because I'm reading Kathleen's book, and there's basically, it's not so much that she talks about it so much as that there's a lot of the book based on this, that is based on Canadian documents, not American documents. So, and of course, you know, and the thing is, if you're in Canada, they had the same thing there too. The Canadians can't talk to Canadians about, can't violate their security oaths, but they can talk to Americans, you know? So, and we do the same thing. We can talk to Canadians without violating a security oath. It's just really, really weird. Well, did I talk long enough tonight? This is what generally what we do. Oh, I forgot to do this, so we got to do it right now. Our sponsor is Kong News. And here's the front page of Kong News in real time. This is, I put this up when we, just before we started the show. Here's an interesting article, and I don't know who wrote this, about the fact that Robert F. Kennedy says Trump team asked him to be vice president, and he quote-unquote respectably declined. There's also, anyway, so the thing is, so here's the deal with Kong News. It's a news aggregator. It takes stories from 75 different news sources every 3 hours. The servers go on and get them, then they cull them front page in chronological order, regardless of the news source. So the stuff at the top here, you can't see my cursor, but the stuff at the top are the two most recent articles, regardless where they're from. And I can just look at the little logos in the corner. The one on the left is from National Review, and the one in the middle is from 100% fedup.com. So, you can't find a better news source than this. The pictures are from, the photos are from the articles themselves. The headlines are not rewritten. And you click on a headline or a photo, it takes you directly to the article. There's no interstitial ad or any of that sort of stuff. It's like, it's as pure a news source as you can get. And it changes every 3 hours. You can come at 10 a.m. There's enough on this page that you scroll down here. You can spend 2-3 hours reading this. And if you come back 5 hours later, 80% of it has changed. And all the old stuff is at the bottom. So once you get down there, you know where you've seen it already. You know that. Excuse me. You can't go wrong with this. And on top of that, it's completely free. You don't even have to register. This is basically a one-page website. I mean, there's other pages. You look at the menu at the top there. There's other stuff. But they basically, I mean, Jeff Meyer, he owns and runs this. And they basically advertise it as a one-page website. It basically is. There's some ads stuck in the stream and the feeds here, too. But, yeah, it's completely free. And you don't have to register to see it. It's a fantastic news source. If you're a news junkie, you literally can't do better than this. Check it out. It's at conk.com, conk.com. And with that, so tomorrow night we have Don Zorro coming on. He's always a kick. Really, really knowledgeable man. We can't say what he does for a living. I like to say he goes out and kills people. But we can't say that. We can't. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Did I? No, I didn't. He is what they call an intelligence operative. So, and that's, you know, he will come on and mask. And that's one of the reasons he does that, because we cannot reveal his identity. So anyway, but he's always a good time and a good humor. So he'll be on tomorrow night. And then we got the dynamic duo on Wednesday. And we got Leigh Richardson from the Brain Performance Center in Dallas on Thursday. I want to thank you folks for watching. And a big, I love doing this. I really do. So thanks for watching very much. Good night, Nipodani. Good night, Esperanza. And good night to you, wherever you are. We'll see you tomorrow night.